That was JoJo and the Bavarians. Hey, how about it? I don't know who that was, but it was a good show. Thank you very much to Dennis Campa for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. That was Minor Mishap. Minor Mishap Marching Band. Thanks, Dennis. We needed that. Hey, the time is 6 o'clock. You're listening to KOOP Horns Be Awesome. That was Around the Town Sounds. This is the Moscow Wedding Show. But first, what are we going to listen to, Mac?
Ms. Mister. I think that's how you say their name. This is a song called Fantasy. Off of an upcoming album of theirs. Moscow Wedding Show coming up, right, guys?
Yep. All right. The time is 6:03 in the PM. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Moscow Wedding Show Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is a show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. Don't hold back. The phone number is 472-5667. Do you like letters? In that case, the phone number is 472-K-O-O-P. We're also on Twitter. I got it opens right here. You tweets it. I sees it. I reads it. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else. That's it.
So what did we just hear, Mac Blake?
We just heard Ms. Mister, or MSMR, if that's how they prefer to do's it.
Uh-huh.
And that was Fantasy, or Fantasy, if you are not Gene Simmons.
Yes.
Although I prefer to read that word like I am Gene Simmons.
Of course, who doesn't?
Yes.
I read all words like I'm Gene Simmons. And the only word I read is money.
Oh, that didn't fully make sense. But you know what?
He's
We're
Jewish.
We're going to roll with it. Did you say he's Jewish?
What? Who said that?
Oh, my God.
Jeez, Mac.
Hot start. Hot start to the show.
Cold day hot start.
Hey, let's get that trademark super quick. Sorry about the cough, guys.
That's all right.
Ignore that part of the show. David Hotta, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Just okay?
Doing all right. Doing pretty great.
That sounds like okay plus.
Yes, it is. It's more expensive than okay.
Oh, interesting.
I'm doing all right. I'm enjoying this nice winter weather. Realizing that come July, we are in a lot of trouble. It is going to be 200 degrees outside.
How dare you call it winter weather, BTW, because it is anything.
Yeah.
It's not that,
I think
that bad outside.
We're done with that groundhog, right? Like, that groundhog has nothing for us anymore.
I think when he pops out now, he predicts Oscar.
I think so.
And he predicted Oscar gold for Argo. Hey, look out there. Although not for its director, Ben Affleck.
That's right.
Not even nominated.
I like that he sounds like a 1940s newsman, though. Big news for Argo.
Oh, what is it? What is it, Groundhog?
Oscar Gold.
Hey, more like our gold. Yep.
How are you, Mac Blake?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's everybody in the room, so I guess
we're good. Whoa. No, it's not David
Hotta. What?
We have two more people in the room.
Hold on.
It's like a Agatha Christie murder mystery, which I've never read. So I assume it's about scenarios where there's more people in the room than originally thought.
Uh-huh.
And then they have a radio show?
No, I think it's the exact opposite.
Didn't she write the Radioland Murders, that movie?
That movie?
Yeah.
That Touchstone picture from the early 90s?
I think George Lucas produced it.
Probably. Who knows what
did.
That idiot's doing with his money?
Go easy on that guy.
Go easy on that guy who changed a generation.
He's got a rough life.
Yeah.
First.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh, what should we do here?
Let's do the new girl.
New girl on the team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or new woman. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's 2013. I'm so mixed up about this sort of thing.
Well, I call us the Magic Boys.
That's true.
As do other people. Asterisk. Asterisk. Nobody calls us that. David, we here at Co-op Radio, we're not just about giving adult nerds time to play their dusty old records.
Uh-huh, that's true.
We're also about reaching out and teaching the community and growing the next generation of people that will vote us off the radio.
Yes.
And with that in mind, we have welcomed a new co-op apprentice to the show. So she Boing will be a that she was supposed to be like a surprise.
Was that the reveal after we've talked about it for 2 minutes?
Yes, a little bit.
Well done.
She will be joining the show in an apprentice-ly fashion.
Sure. These are words.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your surprise name is?
Caitlin Baumgartner.
That's good. Right. Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard,
Caitlin.
Thank
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you, it is your first time apprenticing here on the Mascot Wedding Show. And you're doing so because you hope to one day have a show on co-op?
Yeah. I want to do a comedy type of show.
A comedy show, huh?
Comedy show, yeah.
Well, okay.
Gunning for a spot here. What are you doing?
Kind of trying to do a thing
it'll
here.
It'll be about food, though.
Done. Yay.
Yeah, I hate that.
Weight loss. It'll be about weight loss.
Okay, that was kind of a dig at me. That's fine. Not really winning. That's.
Well, Caitlin, glad to have you aboard. And I would like to go ahead and say in advance, we're sorry.
Yes, for everything we put you through.
Yes.
Well, I accept your apology.
Good. It's about time someone did.
We all also have a very special in-studio guest.
Yes.
You may know her as Pearl Forrester on the hit show Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mm-hmm. She also participates in the live reincarnation cinematic Titanic. She's a contributor to NPR. She is an author. Her latest book is Employee of the Month and Other Big Deals. And she has also done shows here in town with the hit movie mocking group, Master Pancake Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Jo Peel.
Hey!
Good evening. Your very special guest.
Yes.
Your special guest.
This is our second guest, second week in a row where we have a guest with an actual career.
Yeah,
an actual
amazing
comedy career on the show.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
You do.
You
Man,
did.
Man, I don't feel like it sometimes. Who did you have last week?
Chip Pope.
Oh, wow.
The delightful Chip Pope.
Stand-up comedian.
Excellent.
But your eyes kind of went wide as we were reading your credits. Did you know that your eyes went wide, and why did they?
No, I didn't know that my eyes went wide. Why did they? Because
you seemed... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. You go. Okay. What were you going to say?
Well, I think if I was you, I would say this. It seemed like you were horrified that people were saying the things you've done to you. Like, it's this weird moment of embarrassment where it's like, oh, God, like, I don't know.
No, you know what it is, to be perfectly honest? It's I hear my list of credits and I start thinking, why am I still so poor?
There it is.
It just seems like, I did that too. Wow. Oh, boy.
I have no answer for you on that one.
That's comedy. That's showbiz.
Well, we like to call it no biz around here.
Yes, that's
exactly.
True.
The hardest working men in no business.
That's what we're doing.
Yep. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Oh, that Midwest accent's coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Older people.
Was that the list of credits that you would have, if I had shown you that ahead of time, would you have approved that?
Yes.
Signed off on it?
It's just the truth.
Okay.
Is there anything you would have added or subtracted?
Oh, while you were reading it, Mac, I was thinking, you know, I have done shows here in town with you.
That's true.
As my personal assistant.
That's
true.
So
that's partly what I was thinking.
It was your one lady and an assistant show.
Yes.
One across, right?
Right.
How would you describe it? Why don't you do that instead of
me? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. It was sort of a solo show with you, mm-hmm. with another person, and talking about in a very heightened, absurdist manner, talking about my career. Because, you know, one of the things you didn't list is that I was a crossword puzzle clue in TV Guide magazine. A lot of people don't know that.
That's big stuff.
That's huge stuff. Their circulation is like in the millions.
Uh-huh.
So
hardest crossword puzzle ever, people reported.
Exactly.
And that was 2004. And look where I am now. But so I talk about that in that show. And you played my personal assistant.
I play your personal assistant in some of the shows. And what was the name of the gentleman who played it in other shows?
Jose Villarreal.
Now, am I once-in-a-lifetime talent? Let's not waste time and just agree and say yes.
Okay, yes.
However, when I saw Jose Villarreal, and the assistant is sort of like he's like a personalist. He's like a Jonathan to your Jack Donaghy, in a way.
Yeah, wow. But it's very straight, you know. It has its humor, but it's meant to be played a little bit straight.
But when I saw Jose come out and play it, and he was wearing white gloves, Hats off to you, Jose.
That's what he brought to it.
He beat me in my own game. No, I saw him and I was like, this guy's good. I wasn't wearing white gloves.
Touché, I doff my chapeau.
No, yeah, was he wearing like a tux? That's like, man, this
yeah,
guy beat
he
me.
Owns a tux. So he thought, he said, why don't I wear it? And I thought, why not?
I don't like it. I don't like seeing someone do something better than me in my own game.
Well, see, I didn't see your performance. What did you wear? What did you look like?
I was just me.
Like jean shorts?
No, I was just me.
Okay, so jean shorts?
Daisy Dukes. You wore Daisy Dukes.
I wore some Daisy Dukes.
Sure.
I wear some Daisy Duke overalls.
With a big flower.
That is hilarious.
Some knee-high socks.
Yes, exactly.
Please, when we do it again, please do that. Please wear that.
Anytime. That By the way, speaking of socks, I was messing around on Facebook, and this friend of mine, and I use friend as in Facebook friend because we never speak.
Okay.
But he started a one-for-one sock company.
What?
And part of me was like, good for him.
Wait, how does so, that, well, you I don't know, get that. Yeah.
You know that the Tums, I believe, they, besides making delicious stomach mints, they also make these shoes that if you buy them, Tums will give an identical pair of shoes to a kid in a third world country.
Okay, wait, hold on. So it's a Tom brand shoe.
Yep, I believe the
so
shoes
they're,
also...
So they're so diversified that it ranges... Their two products range from antacids to shoes.
Actually, Mac...
No, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
No, that's true. I mean, I was surprised.
Is it true?
I was surprised as well. I think it may be a tax write-off.
Mac, I got to step in here. Yeah. I think you're hearing that wrong. I see. Tums is the antacid. Tom's is the shoe brand.
No, Tom's of Maine is that hippie thing that makes the terrible toothpaste.
Terrible
tasting. Okay, I'm sure it's great for everybody.
Oh, yeah, it cleans the hell out of my tub.
Yeah. No, I got to disagree. I think it's Tums.
Okay, well, agree to disagree then.
Because I think the shoes, I think walking them relaxes your stomach. But anyway, this guy made a one-for-one sock company. I'm not going to mention them because I want to like promote it. And I was real conflicted, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I was looking at it, I was like, you started a business. Hats off to you.
Sure.
That takes some guts. Mm-hmm. Two, you're helping people out. Double hats off to you. If I see a stranger in the hat, I have someone take his hat off because my hat's already off.
Yes.
Third point, though, shut up. Like, it's kind of like, we can't make one-for-one shoes. Tums already does that. What else do we got? Socks.
They go with the shoes.
I think we're a couple weeks away from a one-for-one shoelace company.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait. I'm still lost. I'm still back on what do you mean one-for-one?
Okay, one-for-one is...
Lay it on me.
So this Tums shoes.
Yes.
What they do is
yes.
Every time someone right. in America buys a pair of shoes,
no, I get right.
This company will give another pair of shoes to a third world country.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So this one for one sock company is doing the same thing, but with socks.
Oh, okay.
So we're all cut up now.
Okay. So he's just piggybacking on the
exactly.
Shoe that got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really. It's kind of low rent. Like, it's all admirable. Good for him. But that's not an
it
idea.
It is, but isn't that what this country is built on? Is people, like, seeing somebody else's idea and thinking, oh, I have a version of that.
Not by America.
Yeah,
don't you
in
think?
Fact.
Not since 2008.
Don't cry. Don't cry, David.
Actually, I think Skechers ripped it off wholesale. Like, they have a shoe brand called Bob's, and it...
Wow.
Seriously.
Yeah. And it's the same exact logo, too. And the same exact shoe design. It's like, and they asked Tums, and Tums was, all right, it's Tums. I know it's Tums.
It's completely game up on the
Sorry. I had to, but it literally, it's like, you know, oh, Tums, our shoes look like this, our logo looks like that. And they're like, oh, okay, yoink, we'll call it Bob's.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of these things where it's like, really? You looked at like this shoe company that's like helping people and you go, not on my watch.
Yeah.
Right.
That really is like cartoon villain level where it's like, look, we're Skechers. Come at us. We'll do whatever we want.
I don't get the world sometimes. I really don't.
Who Let me ask you this, Mary
Lay
Jo.
Lay it
Peel.
On me. Go.
So when you're working on Mystery Santa 33,000,
what did you call it?
I don't know.
What did you what did you call it, Mac?
Cherry 2000.
MST3K. You were doing that out in Hollyweird, right?
No, in Minneapolis.
What?
That was the beauty of it. We all lived in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and we built a studio there, and we got to do it in our hometown. That's what we loved about it. I think that's how it managed to keep some of its charm, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's a unique identity.
Didn't let those dirty liberals out in California.
No, but the thing is, you know, if you're working in New York or Los Angeles, people in whatever studio you're working for, mm-hmm. whoever, Comedy Central at one time and the Sci-Fi Channel, they want to get their hands all in it. And our contract said that they could not and that we were doing it where we did. And it was really cheap to produce, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there you go. That helps them out.
What brought you to Austin? Because now you live in our dismal tumbleweed choke burg.
Take it back. I love Austin.
Yeah, we're like a lesser Minneapolis.
You're like a hot Minneapolis.
Well.
A steamy. No, I mean, temperature-wise.
I thought a steamy Minneapolis. I think that's either a drink or something we can't talk about.
I believe that's on Urban Dictionary.
I met my husband. He's a native Dallasinian.
Boo.
A Dallasite. And I knew that I couldn't make him live in Minneapolis because it's so cold. And we took a day trip here, and I just fell in love with it. And we thought, this is where we can go. He was able to transfer for his job, and my job you can do remotely with this thing called the computer.
What?
So, yes, it's true.
Not true.
So, I had some flexibility, so we ended up here 5 years ago.
Well, we are very happy. On behalf of Austin, which am I allowed to speak on behalf of the city?
Mac, on behalf of Austin, where's my key to the city?
Well, it's now remoteless entry. Yeah. Remoteless?
Nice.
So you just walk on in.
It's a key.
Remoteless entry.
That's what I call my keys, remoteless entry.
Remoteless.
God, when am I going to get smart, you guys? When is that going to happen?
We're working on it.
Let us know, Mac. Let us know.
I like it. And so, but you... although Mystery Science Theater 3000 mm-hmm. is off the air, you tour with Cinematic Titanic.
Yes.
Where's the last place you went?
The last place we went
you got any shows coming up?
Oh, it was St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And this year the bookings kind of slow to pick up, but our next gig is in Detroit. And then we'll have some over the summer and this fall and on the East Coast. So
going from the, you know, writing for the television show to performing the live show, what sort of like, and I know you do some stuff here in town with Co-op's own John Erler and Master Pancake Theater, but what's the difference when you sort of, or the adjustments you had to make into going to the live show?
You have to time it differently because people are laughing. If we're doing this show right, people are laughing. And so you can't do all your lines at once because in the best case scenario, they're obliterating some of the lines. Uh-huh. So that's how we know it's working.
Do you get mad at them? Or are you like, stop laughing, you
people? No, actually, it's a thrill because all of us have a background in performing or stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is. You know, you totally dig that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, we had to adjust for that, and we just have a ball with that, feeding off the audience and realizing what a communal thing it is to watch movies and watch bad movies, and everybody's in on it. So that has been a real delight, is to have that experience with people instead of just being in a studio where you have no idea if the lines are working or not. Mm-hmm. You just guess because your colleagues have approved the line.
And Cinematic Titanic is an endeavor that you do with most of your original MST3K crew.
Correct.
And was there a period of adjustment or any ring rust that you had to knock off from the time that you did MST3K to doing this? Or did it just come naturally for
you? It just came naturally.
Okay, well, we'll be right back.
Boom.
Yeah, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
the drama. No, actually...
David has all these ring rust questions.
Wait, and what is that phrase?
It's a boxing term. Like, you get back in the ring, you knock the rust off.
Boxeo?
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Well, you know, we were all on the show for 6, 7, 8 years. I was there for 9 years, I think. So you know, it's kind of in your blood. You can't shake it. So I never, in the TV show, I never performed in the theater. Mm-hmm. I was just the evil nemesis and a writer. So doing this, it took a little, I had to get my stage legs doing it. But the great thing about it is that we're all on script. We've been working on the scripts for ages. And if my line bombs for some reason, there's another one 10 seconds after mine. So people forget about it right away. And they don't have show shame afterwards. But no, we fell into it pretty organically. I think when you're working with four other people, you're always going to be working out, hammering out creative differences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we have fallen into it very naturally.
And how long has the Cinematic Titanic existed?
5 years.
5 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I feel like if there was any sort of, obviously you guys get along with each other, mm-hmm. or else year three, there probably would have been reading about it in the paper. Cinematic Titanic lives up to its name.
You know what? We're all hermit nerds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get along in the show, you know, for 2 hours, and then we all go back to our hotel rooms because we just want to mm-hmm. hide from the world. And no, Co-op, they're fun. They're great people. They're like, you know.
Co-op is the home of hermit nerds. So yes.
Really?
You're welcome here.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
If there are ever any differences, do you guys bond by getting in a car and throwing Molotov cocktails at that other group?
Oh, no, but that is a great idea, David.
Good. Have a drink, Riff Trax. So when you first
Don't
started...
Don't you ever bring up Riff Trax in my presence.
We asked you beforehand.
We did. We
asked I'm you. Totally kidding.
So when you first started doing CT, as I like to call it...
you'd love to. He won't stop.
I have so many CTs in my life.
You're pretty pleased actually, that you came up with CT for...
Yeah. I'm thrilled.
I know what I'm going to call it. You know what? My shorthand is going to be CT. Cinematic Titanic.
Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
Bust out your steno pad, my man.
All right. Sure.
Start taking notes on the master.
Check it out.
I'm not talking about the Golden Globe nominated movie either. I'm talking about me. Anyway.
Sure.
So when that thing first started up, did you have a lot... Yeah, anybody was like... Where are the robots? Bring back the puppets.
Yes. 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 Anyone? We still get that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People, we do a meet and greet after every show, which is delightful. It's really fun, you know, to see people. It's kind of intimidating, too, because older people will come through with their college age children or mid 20s who also have children and they're all fans. And you think, where did that time go? I'm only 22. How could that be?
How dare you entertain a generation?
I know. It is. It's totally weird, though. So getting to your question, yes, people do think it's amusing to say, where's Crow? Where's Servo? Where are the bots? Mm-hmm. You know, and I miss Crow. I miss Servo. And yeah, that's not what this is anymore.
Yeah.
Do you go, what's your question? I miss Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
All kidding aside, though, where are the robots right now?
Yeah, let's bring them back.
Yeah, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, do you have one in your trophy room?
They're buried in my backyard.
Good.
Oh, my gosh.
They are terrible, terrible people to work with.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think there were a couple of originals of each robot, mm-hmm. and I think maybe, I don't think any of the actors have them. I think they were all sold on eBay.
What?
Yeah, after...
That's not right.
Yeah, I think. I have to ask my husband about that.
Why didn't the government grant them sentience like they did the original Batmobile?
I don't know, Mac.
Mac, you need to stop reading those websites.
I know, my gosh.
Pet, you write yourself.
Batmobile writes it, so show some respect.
I had a question. Do you ever, like... Is it just something that you can't turn off now? Like, when you're watching a movie, do you just inherently go straight to mocking it?
Are you the most annoying person in the world to watch a movie with, is David's question?
No, actually, I have to say, I guess I have to ask other people in my life, but actually, it has to be really bad before I turn to, it's invariably my husband, and say, are you kidding me? And then point out some, it's never really a riff, it's more some, you know, illogical thing that's happening in the movie. I have to say I'm pretty stern about people talking in movies. It really bugs me.
Yes.
And I kind of think, not to get too lofty, but I wonder if the whole Mystery Science Theater concept, not that people weren't talking in movie theaters before.
Sure.
But if you see it sort of, what's the word I want? Legalized or
Legitimized
yep. in a TV show, has that... given license to people, because it drives me crazy.
I think it probably makes people think that they're being funny when they're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
More than they probably talked already. They just now think they're funny.
And that everyone wants to hear them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, don't go in there, Argo. Hey, check it out. I'm like that funny robot.
No, I was in a movie theater once a couple of years after MST went off the air, and it was it was a huge theater, maybe six people. There were two people in front of me and two people in front of them, and the two people in front of me were talking during the movie, mm-hmm. and the two people in front of them, one of them turned around and said, "Shut up. This is not Mystery Science Theater."
Hey.
Oh. And that kind of blew my mind. Like, it was just like, oh, what? The world imploded. What's going on?
That's crazy. I was in a movie theater one time, and I was watching Terminator 3. Yes, that was a movie.
Uh-huh.
With my dad.
In iambic pentameter.
Yes. And I was counting the syllables. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Yes.
And this guy was explaining to the lady he was with the entire Terminator mythos. He was like,
No.
Oh, you see in the first one.
No, shush.
There's like a giant ball of lightning. And I was like, shh. Hey, shut up. Shut up, man. You're talking. Stop talking. And then I got like right next to his face and I go, hey, like that. And he never acknowledged me.
Wow.
And I
seriously
didn't know what to do. Because I was like, oh, and my dad was like.
Did he even glance at you?
No.
He just
stonewalled me. And my dad, more level-headed guy, just goes, let's just move. And we switched seats and it was fine. I didn't even consider that because I was like, at that point when I was like, hey, and he didn't look at me, I was like, all right, well, I guess after we kill him, we should come back and watch the movie again. That way, when the prosecutors ask us, we'd be like, we're there the whole time. At the end of the movie, Skynet becomes operational, so we can give them the whole plot when they ask us.
Why should you have to move? That's what frosts me, because my husband is very reasonable and rational, and uh-huh. he will say the same thing. And my feeling is, I was there first. Why do I have to... I'm sorry, I'm on a rant.
No,
anyway,
you're doing great.
No, I'm a guy that gets a little wound up, though.
Yes.
And so,
and this show was built on us hating things on the radio.
Oh, I feel so close to you guys.
Yeah, as well you should.
I'm so happy to be here.
I had an altercation with the guy who works at the deli counter last week.
Tell me.
I was supposed to bring it up as an example of something I don't want to talk about, but I will briefly recap.
Here we are.
Yes.
So I went to this one, let's say for the sake of for radio politeness, a grocery store to... be unnamed, even though possibly I already named it.
Uh-huh.
And then I walked to the deli counter one time, and I was like, give me a pound of this meat sliced on two or whatever. And so he's like, just a pound and a half, right? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, whoops. I thought you said pound and a half. And he gives it to me. And I was like, well, I only wanted a pound of this. Now I'm paying, 150% of what I wanted to pay.
Yes.
But I was like, well, I'll probably eat it. Okay. And so I went back again, and it was the same guy, and I was like, I wonder if this guy's going to overslice again.
Or, like, give you the business where it's like, hey, fatso, how's that pound and a half?
He was, yeah. He was, anyway, so he cuts it again, and he gives it to me, and I look at it, and it's a little under a pound and a quarter.
Uh-huh.
And
even though you asked for a pound.
Yeah. And I look at it, and I was like, and then, but however, the price was more than a dollar what I wanted to pay for it.
Okay.
And look, it's whatever. I'm paying attention now to how much I spend at the grocery store.
Mm. Sure.
And so I was like,
sure.
Hey, look, I only wanted a pound and you cut this much. And he goes, it's not even a quarter more than what I wanted. What do you? And I was like, okay, yeah, but it's a dollar. So more than a dollar that I wanted to pay for it. And he was like, so?
Wow.
No, yeah.
And
no,
I looked at him. At this point, I was like, well, I have options here. I can open up the plastic bag, take out the meat, and throw it down. But in reality, same thing. I'll probably eat it. And so I took it, and I was like, that's all right. Fair enough. And so he's like, no, sir, come back, sir. No, it's fine. It's fine. No, sir. And so he sirred me a little bit after he was walking away.
Mm.
Nothing happened. Not a big deal.
Sure.
Did wind me up a little bit, though.
But it's a cumulative effect. Like, if he had in the first place said something to the effect of, oh, my mistake, like just acknowledging it goes a long way with me. I'm a soft sell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like if I have an issue, I'm not mean about it. I just try and bring it up. And then when people are just rude to you, then my Irish goes up. Then it's like, oh, no, you didn't.
You get drunk? I don't.
Yes.
But you know, the other thing about it, though, is usually at deli,
yes,
specifically, at Howard E. Butts' Fabulous Delis or whatever. Uh-huh. I like it. I like ordering meat at the deli. It's kind of like getting a haircut from a barber. You know, it's like, what do you want? And as I tell them, and they cut it. I don't know why. It's like an interesting transaction. But I find it pleasant to get meat from the deli.
Yeah, it's nice to work with a specialist, even if it is just meat cutting and weighing.
Yeah, because, I mean, most of the food I buy is, you know, in a box already.
Yes.
And it's just like me buying it and then somebody checking me out. I don't know why, but
I had not looked at it like that, Mac.
Well, I enjoy the interaction. This guy ruined it.
Yeah. What if he's, like, grifting you? Like, what if he knows you're a patsy or a stooge or whatever you want to be, and he's like, oh, when this guy comes in, I can pocket an extra dollar a week.
I can pocket an extra half pound of meat. Hey, like, he's got pockets full of turkey, sliced turkey.
This is the classic meat pocket dodge.
See?
That son of a bitch. Grocery store not to be named. Guys, we should take a break.
Yes, we should.
But we will come back with more with Mary Jo Peel. David Hatta.
Yes, sir.
What are we going to hear music-wise?
Oh, boy, off the expanded edition of Road to Ruin, this is the Ramones. With she's
Is that a question?
It is.
The answer is yes, it is the Ramones.
She's the One. Masco Wedding Show. Coming back. And we're back with more Mascot Wedding Show. My name is David Hatta. Mac Blake is here as well. Caitlin is here as well. And special guest,
Mary Jo Peel.
That's right. She's a goddamn celebrity.
Yes, I. Are you allowed to say that?
I think I'm only allowed to say it once a year.
Uh-oh.
Hey, but thanks for pointing it out, though. Thanks for just in case I can't.
Oops, sorry.
No, it's all right. We just heard She's the One off the Road to Ruin album. And it looks like we got ourselves a phone call, 472-5667, by the way. And we're also on Twitter at Mascot Wedding. Let's see what this
who might be calling
lady
us
and gentleman is all about. KOP, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, yes.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. What's your name, caller?
Hey, this is Kurt Hosmer from Sunken Valley.
Oh, hey, Kurt. How's it going? What's on your mind tonight?
It's going pretty good. Is Mary Jo still in the studio?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to say hi. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, well, thank you.
This is a real treat. Can I give me, do you mind if I ask you a question? Does the host care?
I don't mind. Mary Jo's
already. Oh, go right ahead, right. Please.
In season 6, episode 12, when you guys were watching Mitchell.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Joel's last episode. There's a scene where Mitchell shoots a goon in the back of the leg, and there's a joke, Daryl Gates on his day off. A reference to the L.A. police chief?
Right.
Yeah, help settle a bet. Did you write that joke?
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
Well, it's kind of...
Wait, what made you... Wait. What makes you think I didn't write that joke?
A little political.
What kind of jokes do you think I write?
You know, just kind of the fun ones. Just the ones everyone can laugh at that don't question our leaders.
Like girl jokes? Like lipstick jokes? Like makeup jokes?
Well, if they're funny lipstick jokes, then yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we're getting a little track here, Kurt. No, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I'm a big fan, and I guess I'm loving the books as well. I mean, I appreciate it too because I'm an author myself.
Oh, good for you.
Wait a second. So you're an author? What do you write?
I write adult comics mostly.
Adult comics, so like, I'm guessing not like Mouse or anything.
What? Who?
Mouse by Art Spiegelman.
Mouse by Art Superman. What is that?
No. Forget it.
Jeez, I'm trying to talk comics. You seem a little out of your depth. I mean, no offense, but why stay in the kiddie pool if you don't know what you're talking about? Okay.
Hey, come on, man.
No, I actually write adult erotic comics.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So like. Oh, so
I didn't.
Nudie comics, like Mary Jo was saying.
Yeah, like Milkmaids, Milkmaids War Journal, World War Milkmaids.
Okay.
So okay.
Can I ask what those are about? Please keep it clean for the radio.
Well, then no.
Is there a big market for that? Are you finding that you are selling your work or?
Define big market because the answer is probably no.
Is there any market for it?
Not really in this country.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hope you're doing well, regardless. I'm not a big Milkmaids erotic fiction guy myself, but good for you.
Yeah, and if you're pursuing your art, your craft, good on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, thank you. That really means a lot.
Are you a regular listener to the show?
Well, you know what? I actually am not, but I recently went on a trip, and one of my friends told me about this show.
Yes.
And I downloaded a bunch of podcasts, and I listened to them on my way up to D.C., and I got to say it was it's a fun show. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, well, that's cool. What were you doing in D.C.?
I guess I was part of the inauguration.
Really?
Oh, that's neat. So you watched the inauguration? That's cool.
No, I wasn't there to watch. I wasn't like on stage or anything.
Well, oh.
So were you in the audience?
No. I kind of helped put it on in a way.
Oh.
So like you like set up the lights or the sound? Like
what? The tables? Did you set up tables?
Yeah.
Or chairs?
Was it merch?
Well, look, I probably couldn't talk about it too much, but I was there for the second term wishes. but don't get the wrong idea.
No, I'm sorry. I hold on. I think I might have
second term what?
Yeah.
Second term wishes.
Wishes. So I did hear that correctly.
You guys have never heard of second
term
wishes?
No. Is that like make a wish?
Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, sort of. They're sort of like make a wish.
Okay. Huh. Well. No, go ahead.
I'm surprised you never heard of them before.
No.
I've never heard of them. Second term wishes.
Well, when a president wins a second term, part of a reward for two terms in office is he is granted three wishes.
Oh, okay. So,
by whom?
Yeah.
Oh, well, by the government. You know, and look, and they're just kind of fun stuff, though. I mean, there's certain rules. You know, you can't just wish for anything.
Okay, so it's not like you can't have somebody murdered or anything like that.
No, nothing.
Could you wish for lasting peace in the Middle East? Can it be like that?
Why?
fair question.
Seems I
guess.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah,
if that's your job, I mean, you know.
So, were you one of the wishes?
No. I mean, because look, you can only wish for fun stuff. You know, like I was saying, nothing to harm people, or nothing political, nothing dirty. Just it's like a, you know, because running the election is so tough that. You know, it takes a lot out of the president. You know, we should kind of do for fun stuff. And I was one of the fun things for Obama.
Okay, well, this is kind of blowing my mind. Like,
yeah, I can't.
This sounds like I've never heard of this before. Like, has this been going on for a long time, or is this new?
Oh, it's been going on forever. Yeah, I mean, Clinton got his wishes. Bush Jr. got his wishes.
Did you know that you were one of the wishes beforehand? I mean, how does that work?
I was contacted to help out. I mean, because, you know, some of these wishes are big productions. Like, President George W. Bush, one of his wishes, I mean, it took a lot to set up. He wanted a Willy Wonka-style factory made up, but just with barbecue instead of candy.
Hold on. So George W. Bush wanted a barbecue factory.
Yeah, like Willy Wonka, but he was the Willy Wonka, and it had barbecue.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Insane.
It was insane. They could only run it for a day because the animal cost was, you know, even to carnivores, atrocious.
Oh, okay.
And this was never covered in any of the presidential biographies of anyone like Doris Kearns Goodwin, never came up. Is this a super secret mission? Should we not even be talking about this?
I mean, kind of in the days of the internet, it kind of broke. I mean, like back in Clinton's days, you know, pre-internet, all you heard was like rumors and stuff. Because I mean, keep in mind, that was back before, you know, cell phones had cameras and people could snap a photo.
Right.
Like the time that Bush was, you know, he organized a fight between that tiger and Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, there was amateur video of that.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What?
So one of Bush's wishes was to organize a fight between a tiger, the animal, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it was a boxing match. But look, you know, the tiger, he was pretty doped up. It was a pretty easy fight for the Shaq.
Oh, all right. So Shaq won?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. This is insane.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, sometimes some good comes out of it, too. Like, for example, Bush's third wish was a sequel to the Vin Diesel spy movie, Triple X.
So that's why that got made?
You know, Bush wasn't too high on Diesel.
Right. Yeah, because it was Ice Cube played Triple X in the sequel.
Right.
Yeah, he felt Diesel was, in his words, all cowboy, no hat.
No cattle, I think, is the expression.
What?
Oh, forget it. It's all right.
No, okay. It's like when a cowboy doesn't have a hat, he looks stupid.
So, you know what? That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
How did you So what was, are you allowed to talk about what you did for President Obama?
Yeah, I was part of his third wish.
Okay, well, let's build up. What were the other two wishes?
Well, one just happened. You know, the NBA champion, Miami Heat.
Uh-huh. Oh, he got to meet them, yeah.
Yeah, he visited them, but also he fulfilled one of the wishes.
Wait, whoa, what was the wish?
He wanted to play the Miami Heat in a game of paintball.
He played them in a game of paintball?
Yeah, and it wasn't just him, though. He had the entire SEAL Team 6 on his side, too.
Hold on.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's... Okay, so SEAL Team 6 and the Miami Heat in a game of paintball. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good wish.
And he, just between the three of us...
Well, there's five in the studio.
What?
There's more people in the studio, actually.
Well, between all of us, Obama cheated a little bit. He had some fancy paint weapons made.
Like what?
He had a paint tank.
Oh, so, I give him cred.
So
yeah.
Like a tank that shoots paintballs.
Props.
No, well, it shoots a paint shell.
Jeez, that's very dangerous, I think.
Did our tax dollars go toward that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, wow. All right, well.
Okay.
What kind of radius does that cover?
Yeah, do you know?
I don't know. I mean, he only fired it a couple times, and, I mean, you'd have to ask Ray Allen. He flew pretty far when he got hit with that paint shell.
So he hit Ray Allen with a paint shell?
Oh, yeah, sure did.
I never heard any of this.
Well, you know, they're trying to keep it under wraps, and the media kind of play ball.
Okay, wow. Well, so that was one of his wishes. What were his other wishes?
Okay.
Well, he also, in the next Halo game, he wanted Master Chief to take off his helmet, and it looked like him.
That's good.
So, in the newest Halo game, Master Chief looks like President Obama.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's a very good wish.
Yeah.
And then he had a third wish. Didn't quite come together.
Oh, dear.
He wanted to do refilm Conan the Barbarian with him in the Schwarzenegger role.
Hold on. So, he wanted to remake the movie, Conan the Barbarian, the 1982 classic with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
He wanted to be Conan.
Uh-huh.
And this didn't come off? What? Okay,
yeah,
you've got to tell me about this.
Yeah,
well, he would play Conan, and instead of James Earl Jones, it'd be Richard Karn. Is that the gentleman's name? From Home Improvement, Al?
Yeah, Al Borland.
Yeah, however, Obama's, you know, and he was working with this local Saudi prince down here in Sun Valley, who runs the... Sunken Valley Googleplex.
I'm familiar with the Saudi prince. What he likes to remake movies but cast different people in them. Is that correct?
That's right. He invests a lot of his own private funds. And Obama's schedule just didn't allow the time. And so what they did instead was they made a graphic novel.
Okay. So, that's kind of a bummer.
Okay.
Well, good news for me, though, because I co-wrote it.
Oh. Okay. Well, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah.
Well, it stars, it was called Barack the Barbarian.
Okay, so Barack, I guess, is...
No, Barack.
Oh, I feel like we said the same thing. Okay, go ahead.
It's illustrated by Frank Cho, Liberty Meadows, and he's a Wolverine artist right now.
Yeah.
And it's just his tales in the land of Ponark, just going through and just, you know, murdering and... basically, just murdering his way through the land.
Okay, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
So Conan. So Barack Obama is like a huge Conan the Barbarian fan.
Oh, he loves him. You didn't hear that? He loves the Conan.
No.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Was he happy with the graphic novel?
Yeah, you were tapped to do that. Was he happy?
Well, excellent question, Mary Jo. I
asked it.
He actually
said. No, go ahead.
It.
Go ahead.
Were you nervous? I'm sorry, we're peppering you with questions.
I was okay, because he had a lot of input. He actually kind of did the story beat.
He
wanted it to begin with the killing of the Bush people.
Oh, okay.
That was the name of a dumb tribe.
Sure.
And then he fought the guy named Mike Romnock.
Uh-huh.
And that battle was gruesome.
When Barack fought Matt Romnock?
Mike Romnock, you're right.
Mike Romnock, I'm sorry.
Gruesome, you say.
he ripped out his entrails and choked him with them.
Okay.
Over four pages. It was disgusting.
That's a little graphic.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, and but he wanted to make a good mixture of it. The story, so it wasn't just all action, it was also some action.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, some love stuff.
Yeah, I got it. Like some, yeah.
There's a very erotic sequence. I believe this is why I was tapped. Between Barak the Barbarian and also Michelle.
So they didn't change her name? It was just...
No.
So it was Barak and Michelle?
Yeah, he was depicted as a barbarian, you know, with the animal skin loincloth and various leather and stuff, but she was just, you know, wearing a sensible pantsuit and had that bangs haircut that I thought was good.
Well, it sounds pretty good. So is this ever going to see the light of day?
Yeah, this was quite a coup for you. Is it going to...
Oh, no. Like most of these things, you know, it's deniability. So you'll never see it.
But now you're going over the air right now on the radio.
Well, I mean, does anyone listen to the show? Be honest.
I think a couple people do, maybe.
I've never heard of it.
And then they'll tell two people, and they'll tell two people.
And so on, and so on.
Okay, I'm going to need you to not do that.
Well, I can't stop it. It's already happening.
And so on,
all right,
and
well,
so
probably
on,
don't do that. Hey, so I got to go, but before, I got a question for MJP.
How
do you feel about fan fiction?
So fan
I feel neutral about it because, I don't know. No one's ever asked me that. How should I feel?
Okay, because I went ahead and wrote some MST3K fan fiction.
Okay.
It's basically the girl with the dragon tattoo, except I replaced Elizabeth Salander with both Crow and the bubblegum robot. I forget his name.
The gypsy.
Okay, is this on your your blog, or where will we find your fan fiction?
It is indeed on my blog, which you can find by searching my name, Kurt Hosmer.
Kurt Hosmer, yes.
But in the story, it's interesting because, you know, she's just one character in the original story, but in mine, she's two, and they're robots. And so her internal dialogue is now audible for the audience. And you can just hear the robots bickering about the decisions that they're going to make.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Wow, that sounds pretty heavy duty.
And you get to meet Mr. Bubblegum's robot dad, too. It's pretty cool.
It's Tom Servo.
Glad you're keeping busy. Good for you.
Well, thank you. I'll take my answer off air.
Okay. Well, okay.
And, thanks, Kurt.
And now he's gone. And now he just...
Wow, that was...
Kurt Hosmer.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... I gotta find this comic book if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, good for people for... pursuing their creative interests.
Well, good heavens. Mary Jo, we're coming up on the top of the hour.
Yeah.
So we got to get out of here. But is there anything you want to let the people know about?
Oh, no. They should buy my book on
Amazon.com. Yes.
If they want. If a person were interested.
And the name of this book is?
Employee of the Month and Other Big Deals.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Women in Comedy Festival in Boston in March. Woot!
Oh, great.
Cinematic Titanic should be coming around soon. Fingers crossed.
And that's cinematictitanic.com if they want more free information.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes.
Mac, what are you doing here? Where'd you go?
I had to go attend to some radio business.
Did you hear that call?
No,
did
what
you
happened?
Hear Kurt Hosmer?
Whoa, hold on.
It was crazy.
Hold on. Kurt Hosmer called?
Yes.
Wait, author of World War Milkmaids?
What? I've never even heard of him.
All right, we have to talk about this after the show.
I know my comics, guys.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, for more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @mascotwedding.
Mary Jo Peel, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Yes. It was a gas, you guys. It was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
I wish the show was a half hour longer, but we got to make way for the clear spot.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. We get it. You love the soup dragons.
You love your Captain Bee's Heart? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Captain Bee's Knees? Who cares?
His heart buzzes like a bee.
Hey, we're going out with some dirt bombs from their album. If you don't already, have a look. This is Merritt. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David. Goodbye, Caitlin.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, Mary Jo Peel.
Goodbye, all.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye, Austin.